Turn with me, Mark chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, Pastor Selini was talking about the woman with the issue of blood, how she reached out. I just want to continue on that line of thought that there is a reaching out that needs to happen in our lives. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." We pause there for a moment. Father, we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, open our eyes to see you, open our hearts, Lord, to respond to that which you are calling us to. Lord, we want to engage with you, and we ask, Lord, that the reality of your presence would be right here in our midst. Teach us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we saw a woman who had an issue. She had an issue in her life, so much so that, you know, all her money was spent trying to solve that problem, but to no avail. And then she gets healing when she reaches out and touch the Lord. And here, today, we're going to see a similar situation. Here is a man who is blind, and he is a beggar. So, he is someone who is, you know, of lower, in fact, perhaps one of the lowest social economic status, right? He's sitting by the roadside, and he's begging. And the other thing about him is that he is blind. Perhaps, you know, the reason why he is of that low status is because he is blind. We don't know. But here is one man who had a certain amount, in fact, a great amount of limitations. He has no job. Possibly because he cannot see. And he ends up sitting by the roadside and begging. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he's been doing that. Well, this passage doesn't tell us that. Maybe, you know, all his life, you know, there are certain people who were born blind, the Bible says, you know. And maybe he's been doing that for a long time. My guess is for a very long time. And he's in this situation of hopelessness. Now, for most of us, I think we can safely say that, you know, we are not in that situation. We don't have to resort to, you know, sitting by the roadside and begging. We are not in that situation, but if you look deep into our lives, in our own lives, perhaps there are certain areas in our lives we feel that there are limitations. Perhaps we feel that we are of lower status, quote-unquote, right? Lower status because of certain limitations that we have. And for many years, for a long season, for many seasons, for a long time, we have been trying to break out of the status that we are in, of the limitations that we may have. Sometimes we even go to God, you know, "What's happening, God? Why am I sitting by the roadside begging?" Not literally, of course. But looking at our own situation, God, why am I stuck in this situation? Why do I have this limitation that stops me from progressing? And so there is this man, Bartimaeus. He is sitting there, and this is his condition. He had a limitation, and he did, to a great extent, doesn't even know, can't even experience what's happening in his surrounding. But then verse 47 says, he heard. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, obviously by then, you know, he already hears that there's a commotion going on, because the Bible tells us that there is a large crowd. So there's a commotion going on, and he hears that, and then he begins to realize by, you know, what people are saying, that it is Jesus. And he began to shout out. He began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I'd like us to look at that, put ourselves in that situation. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, many people, I hope not us, and if we are in that situation, we need to come before the Lord. Many people, we are in a rut for so long that we decide in our mind, in our heart, that's where we want to stay. Maybe at certain point in our life, we've tried, you know what getting stuck in a rut is like, right? You drive and you enter a muddy patch and your wheel just spins. And the more it spins, the deeper you sink in. And then you get stuck. Just spinning and not going anywhere. You get stuck in a rut. And sometimes in our lives, we can spin. God, let's go this way. This is what I'm going to do for Jesus. And somehow you realize that, hey, I'm not making as much headway as I should. And perhaps there are situations, perhaps there are limitations that cause us to stay in that rut. And the problem is this. When you hear, "Is Jesus of Nazareth coming?" you don't do anything about it. And we sit there, and there's this crowd going by, and we're begging, "I need help, I need help, I need help." And our mind doesn't focus, refuse to focus on the one who can deliver. Bartimaeus, immediately, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David." Now that term itself, Jesus, Son of David, is an acknowledgement, a recognition of who He is. He is the Messiah. He is the one that is going to deliver me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I like to imagine things. Okay, some of you do as well, right? And I imagine what are the different scenarios that could happen, in a situation like that. Bartimaeus is there, he's begging. Probably he's in the same spot. You've seen beggars sitting in the same spot over and over again for years and years and years. Probably, he's there in the same spot. Everybody knows him. Everybody has seen him. He's been there for years and he's begging. And then this commotion comes. A few things come to mind. A few things can happen besides what actually happened. He could have probably thought to himself, "Hey, there's a big crowd here. More opportunity for income." Larger crowd passing by, so more income. Work harder at begging. Work harder at reaching out to the people. You know, try to stop some people. Maybe put your leg out, you know. Trip someone, get some money. He could reach out to the crowd. Why? Because there was a greater crowd. He could also just, you know, do nothing. Sit back and continue to just be there. I hope that with the large number of crowd that's passing by me, they will just notice me. Sit there. But he didn't do that. He reached out, he cried out. You know, sometimes, whatever our limitation, whatever the situation we can be in, we fail to see and we miss the fact that it is Jesus that's passing. And we look around at our circumstances. Huh, more people passing by, more opportunity for income. Let's just, you know. And we hit at this level when we should be hitting up here. We go to the crowd when we should be going straight to Jesus. We go to the circumstances. We look at the circumstances around and we try to find a solution amongst the circumstances, perhaps that will help us elevate ourselves instead of going to Jesus. And here we see Bartimaeus, he began to shout. The Bible tells us he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So he's not, "Jesus, if you can see me." He is shouting out, "Jesus, Son of David," acknowledging, recognizing that he is the Messiah. "You are the one that can deliver me. Have mercy on me." And the first thing I want us to realize is this. Or rather, the second thing. The first thing is to, you know, for us to look deep and to search if we are in a situation whereby we have limitations and we are stuck. But if we are, we got to begin to shout out. Shout out beyond our circumstances, beyond the crowd that is passing by. Shout out towards the one who can deliver us. And in that shouting, you know, sometimes we want to shout and just get attention. Sometimes we want to shout and, you know, it's all about me. But you see, Bartimaeus, what he did is, when he shouted, he calls out in acknowledgement of who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, Son of David. That phrase alone acknowledges that he is the deliverer. We got to pause and daily, and I say daily, learn to acknowledge who Jesus is. Sometimes we miss that. Yeah, we're shouting, but we're shouting, "Help." Can you imagine what would happen if Bartimaeus was there, and, or rather the difference it would make? Okay, he's sitting there and he's just shouting, "Help. Help, help, help me, help me, help me." And this crowd is going by. Not focused, but he was very focused. He began by acknowledging who God is, who Jesus was. And we need to acknowledge in our different circumstances and different situations that we are in, who God is, and give him the honor. Verse 48, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more." I like that. The circumstances around us will tell us, keep quiet. Slow down. In fact, we live in a world that tells us, the moment we shout Jesus, right, tells us, just cool down. Keep quiet. Matthias shouted even more. The focus, the energy directed to the King of Kings was accelerated. Whenever the world, the circumstances around us, the situation around us tells us to keep quiet, we gotta shout even more. Whenever the circumstances around us tell us to stop our praise, we gotta praise even more. Amen? We gotta jump out, we gotta shout out even more when the circumstances, when I say circumstances around us, doesn't have to be, you know, the one standing next to us, you know, doesn't have to be the crowd, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's the bed, you know. It's the bed that speaks out to us. Does your bed speak to you? No, the sofa, the TV, the computer speaks out. Come on. You gotta keep them quiet and shout out your praise even more, because sometimes these things just drag us away from the focus of God, from the acknowledgement of who God is. Bartimaeus shouted out even more when these people, the crowd, rebuked him. Asked him to keep quiet. But he wouldn't listen. He shouted out even more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Whenever we call out to the Lord, whenever we cry out to the Lord, many, many times, it's not only just a calling, but it will also require a moving. Pastor Selena shared a little bit about this, you know, last week as well. You know, sometimes we can come to the closet and say, you know, we can pray and ask God to deliver. And many a times, God say, all right, get up. And this is what I want you to do right now. Move. Move. Faith requires action. Faith requires us to get up and move. How many of us have been caught in that situation whereby, you know, we come before the Lord and say, God, I know you can deliver. Help, 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 help. And then we don't move, you know. And we don't see God act. And then when we're tired, okay, last resort, let's just move and see what God does. And then we realize when we move, I should have moved earlier, right? Happened to us many times. Jesus stops and he says, call him. And the blind man throws his cloak aside. He jumps up on his feet and he walks to Jesus. Like, let your imagination go wild, you know. This guy is excited now, but he can't see, you know. He's probably just, you know, trying to figure out, trying to listen to where Jesus is, and he's, you know, shoving everybody around. Nothing's going to stop him. Sometimes we are like that, you know. Jesus, thank you for hearing me, but I'm blind. Can't see. It's going to be very difficult for me to get there. Why don't you come a little closer, you know? so that I can experience you more. Then you can heal me and, you know. Many times we do that. Jesus speaks to us, and then we say, God, speak some more. Sometimes we do this. Confirm again. We like to use this, you know, spiritual term. Let's have more confirmation of what God is saying. Some more. When Jesus is already speaking and we don't want, for whatever reason, to move. Okay. I'm going to bump into someone if I get up. Can't see, right? I hear this crowd and, you know, I may hurt someone. I don't know whether these things cross Bartimaeus' mind or not. Probably not. He threw his cloak, got up, jumped up, in fact, it says, on his feet, and came to Jesus. If he was already shouting, I cannot imagine him, okay, I know, I need to go and see Jesus, right? I cannot imagine that, you know. Because when he's sitting down, if he's already shouting, I imagine him jumping up and running. Sometimes we need that. We need to jump up and say, God, I'm going to run. I'm going to move. There is a time to cry out, but there's also a time to say, God, yes, this is it. I'm going to make the move. I'm going to believe that the situation will change when I move. The situation will change when I respond to what you are saying. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, let him come. The situation will change when I come. That's it. How will it change? I don't know yet. But Jesus said, come, so I'm coming. And we need, church, we need to move from a time of crying out to a time of moving out. From a time of, God, let me hear you. I'm in this situation, you know. Deliver me. Take me out of this. Help me. To a time of, yes, God, I believe this is what I'm going to do. I hear you. I don't know how it's going to turn out yet, but I'm going to believe that this is what you want me to do. You're calling, I'm moving. And then he comes to Jesus in verse 51. Now Jesus asked him this question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's like, duh, can't you see? I'm blind. But Jesus asked him that question. I think, put yourself in that situation again, in Bartimaeus' shoes. All right? And I asked the question, could he ask for anything else? Yes, I'm sure he could have. I'm sure he could have asked for many other things. Maybe he could have asked for money. Maybe he could have asked for, you know, a better life. And I thought to myself, have we been in situations whereby we miss what God wants to do simply because we have been comfortable in whatever situation that we have been in? In the rut already, you know. Can you imagine if Bartimaeus was so, well, I wouldn't say comfortable, but so used to the fact that he is blind. Sometimes we are so blind that we forget that we are blind. We are so used to it. And that can happen to many of us, to any of us, to different situations. You know, sometimes God calls us and says, I want to deal with this. And we're thinking, or rather, God has this, you know, what He wants to do in our life, and we're thinking, you know, perhaps I should, you know, do other things. Perhaps I should ask God to deal with certain other things. Bartimaeus goes deep, right to the point. He's not looking for money. He's not looking for material things. He says, I want to see. What do you want me to do? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Not because of what you have done. Not because of what you have or don't have. Not because of your situation. But it's faith. At the end of the day, Jesus again re-emphasizes that faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. Go, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus said, go. The man follow. And here again is another lesson that we can learn. There are many stories. And the one I can think of right now, there was a time whereby Jesus heals 10 lepers, right? He says, go and wash. And one comes back and thanks him. The other 9 disappear after they're healed. Here, Jesus says, carry on. Go. Do whatever you want to do. Your faith has healed you. Go. And this man stays back. And he says, he followed Jesus along that road. He follows Jesus. And he begins to, I believe, or he starts his journey of absorbing, learning, a relationship with Jesus. And I ask myself, how many times have I been guilty when God delivers, I forget? Go and forget. Big thing, small thing, doesn't matter. But have we been guilty? God says, you know, you've been done. You did a great thing. Your faith has healed you. Okay? That was an act of faith. But then, the moment we saw that deliverance, the moment we saw that provision, the moment we saw how God worked out things, we forget. We are human beings, are very forgetful people, huh? We need to recognize that sometimes. You know, even with the Israelites, God told them, make sure they remember the Passover. You got to do this every year so that they remember. Follow Him. Today, my challenge for us is this. Number one, what are the limitations that we have? What is the situation that we have? You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm not blind, I'm not begging. But perhaps there are certain things that is hindering us. Maybe it's a physical issue. Or maybe it's an emotional issue that is stopping us from moving forward. And we need to recognize that, because sometimes we can be so comfortable with it. It's so much part of our life. But Theamus, every morning, I imagine, wake up, go to the streets after, you know, he's done everything that he needs to do, go to the streets, sits there. At the end of the day, counts his money, goes back, and he goes through this cycle doesn't experience anything else except sitting there, maybe talking to one or two people that pass by. Cannot see anything, but that's his cycle. And maybe some of us, we are in his cycle, in his rut. Maybe because of limitations, maybe because of the circumstances around us. We don't know why Bartimaeus was in that situation. I mean, he's blind, yes. You know, but like I said earlier, we don't know whether the reason why he's begging is because he's blind. Maybe so. But whatever it is, some of us, if not all of us, maybe there's a situation that is stopping us from moving forward. And the first thing that we need to do is to recognize that. Can you imagine Bartimaeus not recognizing that? He can, that Jesus can take him to the next level. And after we recognize, number two, we need to cry out. We need to cry out. Crying out begins, firstly, with the acknowledgement of who God is. Jesus, Son of David. It begins with praise. It begins with worship. And if we are in a situation that we cannot get out of, I want to encourage you, church, step into worship. Cry out in worship. Because that takes us to the next level. Because that causes us to see things in the right perspective. Worship. Worship causes us to see things in the right perspective. I was just reading an article a couple of days back. You know, the opposite of sin. And this guy was writing and said, I cannot remember the article, the title of the article, nor the name, nor the author, sorry. And this guy was saying that the opposite of sin is worship. Why? Because sin is, you know, rebellion against God is not acknowledging who God is thinking about ourselves. But then when you worship, what you do is you put everything in perspective. You acknowledge who God is. And I thought, that's new. And so, if we recognize that we are in that situation, we got to cry out. We got to cry out in worship. But we cannot stop there. We got to also move out. Reach out. Just like the woman with the issue, you know, she moved, reach out to touch the cloak of Jesus. You need to reach out. And your crying out and your reaching out must be in response to an act of faith. To move. Faith is necessary. Acknowledge. Cry out. Reach out. And then, when we experience the deliverance of God, when we experience what God is doing in our lives, make sure we don't bail out, but we follow Him. Bartimaeus followed Jesus immediately after he could see. For a person who possibly has been blind all his life, what would you do the moment you have sight? Travel the world, Yeah. See, discover as many things as you can, you know. Follow Jesus. You know, sometimes the world, the circumstances, the situation can distract us. Yet at the same time, you know, it can pull us away. Even after God has delivered us, you know, give us a new thing, we can also still be distracted. Bartimaeus immediately received his sight and followed Jesus. So my challenge to us is this. How closely are we following Jesus? If we are in a situation, how hard are we crying out? How hard are we crying out? In worship, first of all, right? Are we ready to move out. And sometimes the crying out phase and the moving out phase can be extended. God's timing is everything. Sometimes we can cry out for a long time. Sometimes God asks us to move, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving for a long time. Keep believing. God spoke, keep believing. And then when we encounter Him, we got to say, yes, I'm going to follow. Immediately follow. Let's bow our heads right now. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you search our hearts. Search our hearts right now. If the Lord brings to mind a situation that we are in, maybe something that we've been crying out to God for, maybe a situation, a circumstance that we are locked in a rut, and the Lord is showing us that situation. And perhaps the Lord is telling us, you know, son, daughter, you've been too comfortable in this situation. So much so it's become part of your life. That's not where I want you to be. We need to today begin. Begin to cry out. To learn to cry out for some of us. And when circumstances and the situation rebuke us, tell us to keep quiet, we got to learn to cry out even more. But it can't stop there. It doesn't end in the prayer room, so to speak. We got to move out. Because God will call us. And perhaps there's some of us here, we know that God is already calling us. You know, we've been crying out. God is calling us. But it's difficult to move out. It's difficult to throw the cloak away. It's difficult to get up. It's difficult to push through the crowd. Why? Because of our limitation, we can't see. But we got to move out. We got to act and respond by faith. Because faith is necessary for healing, for deliverance. Faith is necessary. And we need to remember constantly, always, that when we encounter God, our response must be to continue to walk in obedience, to follow Him. Let's just spend a few moments right now. Perhaps some of us need to confess. Perhaps some of us need to tell the Lord, tell ourselves also maybe, yes, I'm going to move out. I've heard it so many times. I'm going to move out. Perhaps some of us need to say, God, you have delivered me, but I've never followed you. Perhaps for some of us, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the strength. I believe. Help my unbelief, you know. I need a little bit more faith. Thank you, Jesus. Your time with God right now. He's speaking. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your move in our midst. We thank you for the new thing that you are doing in our midst. We thank you, O God, for your blessing upon your people. You are good. We acknowledge your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your overflowing love upon our lives. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Father, I pray that you bless your church. You bless all those that are here right now. I speak a newness to come upon each and every one of us. A new face. A new face. May we echo the words of the blind man, you know. I will follow you. May we echo the words of the lame man. I can't walk. But now, I'm going to follow you. Now I know. I was blind, now I see. Leaping, rejoicing because of what God has done. Amen. We thank you, God. We thank you. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.